there is a word that is found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. I want to encourage you to read the entire 11th chapter, but for the purpose of our message and so that we might preserve some time, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. I want us to read it in unison, and by that I'm simply saying, let's pause at comma, stop at period, so we may read it together. Let us read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen was not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so very, very much. I want to talk with you for the next little while from this thought. Public enemy number one. Public enemy number one. Pray for us and pray with us, if you please. Fear. Some people mistakenly believe that they are born with certain bondages in their lives. They think their problem started on the inside and worked its way out. Well, actually, the opposite is true. Bondages always work from the outside in. Now, let me give you scripture. Romans 8:15. It verifies this. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Notice now what the Holy Spirit says here. You have not received the spirit of bondage. In other words, spiritual bondages are produced within the reborn spirit of a man. If they are present, it is because they have been received. 2 Timothy 1:7 confirms it, and it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A spirit of fear has to be given to you. And the word says, God haven't given to you. Well, guess who give it to you? God has given you a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So if you have a spirit of fear operating in your life, it's because you received one from the enemy of your faith. Public enemy number one. Now let me prove it to you, because some of y'all don't believe the word. Let me show you in your own little life. When a baby is born, it has no fear. I mean, most of us have been exposed to babies and been around babies. In fact, we have to teach a baby to be fearful. No, don't go there. No, don't bother that. No, you fall on that. He ain't got no fear. Go stand up on anything. Lay on anything. Play with anything. They ain't scared of no bugs. They ain't scared of no dogs. They ain't scared of no snakes. They ain't scared of nothing. No fear. And you have to run out there and grab them. Come here. Walk out in the street. Get hit by a car. They ain't got no fear. We have to put it in them. And we do. Don't do that. Stop that. Come here. Come on. Come here. Baby looking at you. You're scared. You're making the fearful. You know where it goes already in you. And we reproduce our own. Woo! You almost touched that hot stove. I was so scared you was going to get burned. I grabbed him. I just ran in there and just picked him up. Oh, Lord. Whew. Now the baby, now here's my point, because I don't want y'all to get the wrong points away. You know, you're trying to say that we ain't supposed to go stop the baby. No, what I'm trying to tell you is the baby wasn't born with it. It's taught. Or some folks say it's caught. Amen. Somebody throw it, you catch it. Amen. Amen. Don't do that. What's wrong? You know, if you stepped in, that would have did such that. Oh, okay. Well, wow. Now, before that, you had no fear. You stand up there as a ball. Some of you are afraid of mice. Little old bitty. I ain't talking about rat. Mice. Little bitty somebody like that come running through here. Everybody be all over there. Be all up on the pews. Oh, jumping all up in the chairs. Why? Because you fearful of mice. And I've never understood this. Woman be afraid of a little mice and would jump on a 350-pound man. Don't make no sense to me. I ain't scared of him. I'll pick up something. Now, get the mice. Big brother. Big football player. Something just snuck. I ain't scared. Huh? And little old bitty mice got you all up in the seats and screaming, hollering like the world fit to come in. Ah! Help! Woo! What's wrong? I think I saw something. The thing scared of you already. You scared of it and it's scared of you. Now the brother ain't scared of you. But I'll pick up some. I'll get me some grits. You better not go to sleep. Ain't scared of us. But it's a fear thing. Amen. Like I knew I'd wake somebody up on that. But if you're going to conquer fear, it's vital that you understand one thing. Satan operates and uses things in the natural realm. He uses the material world around you. The things of God, on the other hand, are perceived spiritually. The devil tactics is to convince you that the things you can see and hear around you are more real than the truth of God's word. When you start depending on what you can see rather than what God has said, you are wide open for deception. There's no place for faith in that kind of life. And you ask me why? Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Church, don't you be moved by the things you can't see. Be moved by the unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, exhort us by saying, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Or in other words, they are subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal, which means that they are not subject to change. And then Peter in Matthew 14:25-31 was in a boat out on the sea, and Jesus came walking on the waters, and Peter asked Jesus if he would bid him to come unto him on the water. Y'all know this story. And he did all right. Stepped out walking on the water until what? Until he took his eyes off Jesus. He was able to operate in the realm of the miraculous as long as he kept his eye on Jesus. I mean, look what happened when he turned his eyes toward his circumstances around him. He began to sink. And let me tell you, the same thing happened to you and happened to me. When we look at things based on what they seem like, over and against what God said they're like, we get scared. We start taking things into our own hands, and that's the worst hands to put them in. Peter said, let the negative circumstances which enter through the gates of your eye produce fear in his heart. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. The enemy, he showed up. And most of us do the same thing today. You start looking at the facts that your bank account is empty rather than the fact that the word says all your needs are met according to God's riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9:19. The results, public enemy number one, show up, fear. You look at the fact that the doctor say you got a serious problem rather than the fact that the word says by his stripes you were healed. And the word said were healed. Some people say are healed, but the word said were healed. By his stripes I was healed. Past tense. Hello. Now you need to hear that, because God is saying when you get the disease, I've already healed you from it. But you got to believe it. Hello? You listening to Dr. Ivanhoe and not Dr. Jesus. Jesus didn't say you wasn't going to get a disease. He said, but by my stripes. Because I know the devil going to do everything he can to put dis-ease in your life. But I wanted you to know I got an answer before you ever have a problem. God don't wait till you got a problem and then say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Sister White needs me. What am I going to do? Sister Gibson needs me. What? Reverend King needs me. What? God ain't. No, and then he had to put on his Superman, you know, and throw off Clark Kent and go in and come out. No. The God we serve has an answer before you have a problem. Because God knows everything before everything ever becomes a thing. He has already provided. His boy on Calvary not only died for your sin, but also your diseases. And if you can believe he'll save you, you ought to believe he'll heal you. And like I said, Satan already knows. The good news is, my brothers and sisters, as I get ready to close, you don't have to let fear in your heart. You don't have to let the devil in. You can miraculously walk on top of your circumstances the way Peter walked on this water. But even if you do find yourself sinking, take comfort in knowing that Jesus is only a cry for help away. You can yell, Lord, save me, and Jesus will hear your cry. You don't have to live in fear. Absolute peace and security are your birthright as a child of God. Now, right here, I need to make a confession. The Lord revealed to me the other day as I was watching television, and I was watching this sister on TV, and I normally don't watch it. I think the only reason I watched her was because she normally dressed real sharp. And this time she had on some jeans, some blue jeans, and she looked nice. I mean, but she was dressed very casual. And I stopped and said, "Wow, what the audience is?" Because, you know, everybody always talking about George Myers. They always talking about how sharp, you know, just wear some sharp outfits now. I'm the showing up be sharp. And this day she has the blue jeans, and I stopped and I said, and the Lord wanted me to hear something, and I'm gonna share it with you. Because one of the things that I tell you, that when I find out I'm wrong, I quickly come tell you, I've been wrong about this. I've been wrong about it. I've been saying it and been teaching it a long time, and I believed it until the Lord used her to reveal to me a truth. And you have heard me say all the time that when you get saved, salvation is free, and that you don't have to give up nothing. Y'all heard me say that. And currently, I've always believed it. You know, I always say to people, you always run around talking about, you know, if I get saved, I got to give up this, and I got to give up that, and I give up that. I said, no, you had to give up nothing. You had to give up nothing. All you got to do is believe. And then I heard this scripture. She said, you do have to give up something. What do you have to give up? Envy? Murder? Drunkenness? Lying, hatred, witchcraft, seditiousness, heresy. You got to give that stuff up. And that thing, a light came on. Say, you know what? That's true. Because there's a whole lot of folk in church calling themselves Christians, still hating folk. Calling themselves Christians, still lying. Calling themselves Christians, still backbiting. still mean. Lord said, do unto others to have them do it. You do stuff to folks you know you would go crazy almost if they did that to you. And you call yourself a, yeah, you got to give up something. You got to give up your devilish ways. Yeah, you ain't born again until you give up your day. You ain't got no business. It's because you won't let God be your boyfriend. Let him be your man. Let him be your guy. Let him control you. Yeah, you ain't got to have nobody. If you got the Lord, you got enough. That's why you messed up. And then they look at women. I hear women talking, well, child, you ain't got nobody in your life. Well, you got somebody and there ain't nobody.